Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
51551, ray@rte.ie. Late on Tuesday night, July 25th, 1978, our next guest was born. The eyes of the world were on her arrival. Weighing in at 5 pounds and 12 ounces, Louise Joy Brown was the first baby born through IVF, in vitro fertilisation, the first test tube baby. Louise Joy Brown, good afternoon.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah. Thanks so much. This is a real privilege, Louise, to talk to you. Yeah, because you're part of medical scientific history in a huge way. So thanks. And Joy is the movie about your birth, which is, not many people get a movie made about their birth, Louise.
No, it's pretty surreal. I just love the fact that they've just highlighted the journey of the three pioneers that made it all possible. And Jean has got her recognition that she finally deserves. Yes.
So Bob Edwards, scientist, Patrick Steptoe, gynecologist, and Jean Purdy, as you mentioned, embryologist, and she ran the lab as well. And the story is about her and about you. So what was it like seeing the movie?
Quite emotional. Just sort of realizing that actually, in the beginning, it wasn't just the three of them. There was all the women previous that had helped with their fertility journeys that possibly were never going to have a baby. I mean, without those other women as well, they wouldn't have had the knowledge and of it even working. I mean, Mum wasn't part of those original women, the Ovum Club. Mum never had any sort of injections or anything. Her IVF was a completely natural cycle. So without those women, they may not have ever realised that the injections just weren't working. So it's not only down to the three, it's to realise that it was those brave women that sort of helped as well.
Yeah, and it plots those three coming together in the late 60s and their work throughout the 70s, which finally came to fruition with the birth of you, your birth. And as you say, they had to do a lot of experimentation over that decade before they hit on, I suppose, the winning formula.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And as I said, they were using injections and everything. Mum had nothing. Mum's was literally her first try. Patrick retrieved one egg from my mum, put it with my dad's sperm. And then Jean was left to watch me divide while Patrick imparted at his wife's birthday party. So in fact, Jean was my very first babysitter.
She babysat your embryo. It's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling, Louise. Tell us about your mum and dad, Leslie and John.
So they tried for 10 years to try and get pregnant. Mum had gone to her local GP and they diagnosed Mum with depression through not being able to get pregnant. So they then referred Mum to a gynecologist, a specialist in Bristol, where they lived. And then the gynecologist had said, there's a million to one chance that you'll ever have a baby, Leslie. But there is some people up north doing a trial. I'll see if I can get you an appointment with them. So Dr. Hinton in Bristol managed to contact Patrick Steptoe, who had a meeting with Mum and Dad. They discussed that the treatment might work for Mum, but they weren't 100% sure. They discussed that she needed to have her fallopian tubes removed completely. And my dad had won £500 on the football pools to enable them to afford the operation because it had to be done privately.
Right.
They removed Mum's fallopian tubes and then they did the treatment. And as I said, one egg, first time, right. and it worked.
I'm just reading the current statistics, Louise. Like, one in six couples have problems with their fertility. And since you were born in 1978, 12 million babies have been born through IVF, a staggering number of people. And I suppose your story starts when the movie ends.
Yeah.
And it was four when your mother sat you down and you watched your own birth through cesarean.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
I mean, they just sat me down and it was before I started school because they just wanted to sort of make me aware. I mean, obviously, I was always aware that there were lots of people around all the time. But because I'd had it from day one, I didn't really take any notice of it. They just said that obviously I knew who Bob and Patrick were. So they just said Bob and Patrick helped mummy and daddy have you. And you were just born in a slightly different way to everybody else. Obviously, they use the words born because that's easier than trying to tell a four-year-old what the word conceived is.
Yes.
So that was just sort of set me up for going to school. So if anybody had any questions, I'd be able to answer them. And then the rest I sort of learned as I grew older and sat listening to them be interviewed. When we went up to Bourne Hall, which was founded just after I was born, just listening to the different interviews and people talking about IVF, I've always been around it. So I just sort of took it all in. And then when I got to like sort of teenage years, you sort of, when you do sex education at school, you're sort of like, yeah, that actually makes sense now. It all sort of put the puzzle pieces locked together and you sort of realize sort of how special and how, well, fantastic it was.
And I'm interested about your teenage years, because that's when we are getting a sense of who we are, a sense of ourself, if you like. And the fact that you were conceived in a test tube or a Petri dish, did that in any way change how you saw yourself?
No, but I did often wonder. I used to lie in bed on a night and I used to think, people in Australia know who I am. People all over the world know my name. Yet I know nothing about them. And that used to really sort of play on my mind. Now I don't care. I mean, I'm an adult now and I don't even think about it. But when I was growing up, I think it was just the fact that somebody knew all my details and I knew nothing about them.
Yeah, you can never lie about your age, Louise.
No, that is one thing I can never get away with that.
And were your mum and dad, you say they were interviewed, obviously, at home, but did you travel around the world to tell your story?
Yeah, so I was a couple of months old and we went to America. We toured America. We did Japan. There's footage of me on the Phil Donahue show in America. And I was walking I was 10 months old when I was walking. And they were trying to they had me on like a table and they were trying to talk to me and I wasn't having any of it. I just wanted to run around. So they ended up, they had to tie a balloon around my wrist so that I run around the studio, but they could also see where I was. And they could see this little balloon bobbing around as I sort of walked around the studio. So, and obviously I've seen that on footage, so I know that was true. I can't remember that.
Of course. Yeah. And there was lots of predictions about what might happen. Bob, for example, Bob Edwards, the scientist, he has been called Dr. Frankenstein. His scientific peers weren't too happy. The press weren't too happy. Of course, the church weren't happy at all about their work. Did any of that impinge on you, Louise?
Not really. Once I was born, because it was obviously C-section, back then mum was completely knocked out. So mum didn't actually see me until the next day. So once I was born, they took me away and they did over 100 different tests to make sure that everything was normal, and everything was absolutely normal. I even had my fingerprints taken, and the next day there was some black ink in my nails. Mum got quite upset because she said, "Why is there black ink in my day-old baby's nails?" And they said, "Oh, we took her fingerprints." And my mum said, "Why did you take her fingerprints?" And I never know to this day why they did.
Yeah.
But I've not had since that day. Since the day after I was born, I've never had any other tests or anything. So I know it's sort of, I'm completely fine. Yes. and healthy. And I think that was the main thing people were worried about. I mean, had I been born with a cleft lip or something that's relatively normal these days, I don't know how that would have gone. But luckily I was normal, and I think it was just more the unknown as well.
Yeah, I think there were certain parties waiting for the whole thing to fail. I think, you know,
I think some people obviously hoped it would fail, and it didn't.
It didn't. And here you are to tell the story. And Natalie, your younger sister, was born through IVF as well. And she was the first person born through IVF to have a child.
Naturally of her own,
yes. I'm just looking at the papers from, not the day after, because you were born late at night, weren't you? But the 27th of July, 1978, the evening news. Meet Louise, the world's first test tube arrival. Super babe, it says. Then she was born. She's doing well. Page 3. And there's a picture of you there on the evening news. And then you were in the Los Angeles Times, and they have a picture of the Daily Mail with you on it. And here she is, the lovely Louise. Test tube baby, first of many, doctors say. Healthy, crying her head off.
Yeah, I was squawking. The nurses used to call me Little Miss Big Mouth. And mum got upset about that. But I think as I got older, it was a sort of standing joke in our house because I don't shut up.
You're obviously, because it was such a momentous occasion, your birth was filmed.
Yes.
And are there clips of that at the end of the movie?
Yes, there is. As the credits go up, there's a couple of things, like says that there's 12 million of us now. And there is actually some footage of, I think, Patrick pulling me out.
Yeah. And there's a crying.
Lots of crying. I screamed my head off.
Yeah. I don't know if this is the actual one, but this is the representation of your birth in the movie. We'll just play a bit of that. And of course, it has the build up in the music and then the silence, and then you say hello to the world. There you go. That's lovely.
The nurses were right. I've got a big mouth.
Yeah. And Joy, it's called, that's your middle name. Who gave you that name?
Patrick gave me the name. They asked Mum and Dad if they could call me Louise Joy Brown, which Mum and Dad gladly said, yes, of course you can.
Hmm. Excuse the pun, it's a joyous movie. I cried on a number of occasions, so I can't imagine what it was like for you watching it. You must have been overwhelmed on occasion.
I was okay. I've seen it 3 times so far.
Right.
I'm sure I'll be a bit more emotional when I'm in my own home.
Yeah. And this is a lovely twist, because you're married to Wesley, you have 2 sons, Cameron and Aidan. There was a big hoo-ha when you were brought home from the hospital, and a crowd gathered outside. And in that crowd, who was there?
My husband, as an 8-year-old little boy.
And he saw you going in. He said, "I'm going to marry that woman." So, Louise, 67481, that was the number on your Petri dish before you were born. And you know all of this, of course. And Joy is on Netflix now, and it's a joy to watch. And thanks so much, Louise Joy Brown, for sharing your story with us today. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.